Welcome to the Love Reaching Community's Sermon of the Week. For more information pertaining to the life of the church, please visit our website at lrcchurch.co.za.
So we have come to the end of our journey through Hebrews. Well, not exactly the end. We still have chapter 13, but we have gone through 12 chapters. Unfortunately, two of them not recorded, but 10 so far we've done recorded messages approaching God. I think I was talking to Ruben the other day, and you said that you hope it's been as good for the people as it's been for us. We've learned so much of God in Hebrews. So to recap quickly, it was written when? 60 AD.
After the death of Christ.
60 AD, written by a learned guy into a context of the early Christian church. We know that he's learned and he knows things about Judaism. We know that he is schooled in Greek because his use of the language is very well, very good. He refers a lot to Old Testament, so he knows history, he knows tradition. And he's talking to the church about not getting stuck in old ways and pursuing God that way, but giving themselves completely to Christ, what he says. Compares Jesus to the law, to Moses, to the high priest, to Melchizedek. He goes through all of those things, and we've journeyed there. The ESV Study Bible says, the letter to the Hebrews was written to encourage Christians in a time of trial. It does so by focusing on the absolute supremacy and sufficiency of Jesus Christ. Now, let's start off by asking, what was your favorite chapter? If I could put you on the spot, do one.
The one I preached about. No, I think one of my favorite chapters is Hebrews 2.
Yeah.
Where it just explains, you know, how Jesus conquered, you know, every obstacle in our way, and where he has put everything under our feet. Mm. Now it's our time to walk this thing out here on earth.
Like that we have got the authority.
Mm.
And we are established as people that can... Yeah, cool.
Yeah. Ruby?
That's the problem with going second, because they always steal what you wanted to say. But I also enjoy chapter 2. Specifically looking at the aspect of salvation.
Yeah.
And I remember when you preached it some time ago in March. I was actually listening to it again the other day, and you talked about remembering that first time when God gripped your heart.
Yeah.
And how you were listening to the Hout Grace song.
Hectic. Hout Grace. Oh, that takes me back now.
And you ran outside and you said you could smell the paving. Yeah. The smell of the paving. And I was honestly, it's like God gripped my heart again.
Yeah.
Just the importance of us remembering that time when Christ came into our lives.
And when he was absolutely real, huh? That moment.
When you could do anything, when you were like, I'm hitting those streets, I'm telling absolutely everybody about Jesus.
Nothing's going to stop me. Nothing's going to stop me. Yeah. Yeah, it was a good chapter. Anyway, chapter 1. Let's recap. Let's quickly test our pastors. What is chapter 1 about?
The supremacy of God. I want to go first before he steals my answer.
The exact imprint. He is supreme. He is everything of God right here with us. Chapter 2?
Comparing to Moses.
Ah.
That's chapter 3.
Salvation.
Salvation, sorry.
Salvation through Jesus Christ. And what I said, it's not thy hold on Christ that saves thee.
Yeah.
It is Christ. It is not thy joy in Christ that saves thee. It is Christ. It is not even thy faith in Christ, though that be the instrument. It is Christ's blood and merit. Charles Spurgeon. That was the quote that I wrapped chapter 2 up with. Chapter 3, Brandon took it.
Yeah. Jesus greater than Moses.
Teach me your ways, Lord. That's what he said. Is we need to pursue God and his ways about everything. Chapter 4.
Do you want to go? Rest, our rest in God.
Yo, I did well. You remembered that one. Approaching God, knowing that he's accessible in his rest, in his word, and fully able to get into his presence. Yeah. That was chapter 4. And then who took chapter 5?
I don't know. I think it might have been me.
Was that the one where you and I stuffed up?
Yes, that's the one. So just for people out there, I was sitting in my office and prepping on chapter 6. And as I'm sitting in the office and I'm listening to Johan preach on chapter 6, and I'm like, hold on, he's preaching my chapter. And then after your preach, I went to your office and I said to you, Johan, you know that there was a miscommunication, yeah. We both prepped the same chapter. But before that, I was sitting in the office and I felt God say, this is exactly the way I wanted it to be.
Mm.
And then I started reading through chapter 5, and God immediately highlighted just
It's amazing, because just then it was perfect. You did such a great job. Chapter 5 was gentleness and humility, cries and tears, obedience and sacrifice.
That's right.
And when I read chapter 5, I didn't notice any of those. And yet God gets you to take out and unearth such treasures out of chapter 5. But yeah, I'm sorry. That's all I can say. Chapter 6 was the elementary teachings that I did. And I love that chapter. I love being reminded that Jesus isn't elementary things that we move away from, but we move away with. Like when you learn in elementary school to read and do simple arithmetic, you don't ever move away from it. You take it with you. I really love that chapter. I think that was a good reminder for me to come back to what Christ is all about. You know, especially in this time, to remember missions even, that he is supposed to be shared out there. Chapter 7. Oh, that was also mine. Come.
What was it about?
Yeah, that's what I'm asking.
Is it not the comparison with Melchizedek?
That's yeah. It! Yes! Melchizedek. The order of Melchizedek. And I know I'm going to say this many times, but this is also one of my favorites. I loved how God revealed to me that the human covenant had to be fulfilled with the human sacrifice, but that his divine covenant he had to fulfill because he needed a divine sacrifice.
It's beautiful.
And this is what I'm saying. It spoke so much in prep. I don't know about you guys, but when I was prepping it, I just felt so much of God correcting, convicting, revealing. So I hope people have enjoyed it. But yeah.
It's like every time you prep, it's like you become more aware of what's written. You know, you take extra notice of what is written down in the Bible.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, whenever we read the Bible, we should almost read it as if we're prepping for a message.
And we should never forget that it's a privilege for us.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've got the privilege to devote ourselves to pursuing things like this. You're overwhelming. Then, one of the young bulls took chapter 8. Can you remember what it's about, Reuben?
No.
Hebrews 8. Duan brought this simple yet absolutely profound reminder that there's, in God, there's always been one covenant. I will be your God and you will be my people. And how through many ways he's just tried to work it out for us, for his glory.
Mm.
It was a lovely one. Chapter 9. Mervin.
Yeah. The elements, it was beautiful. I remember after chapter 9, just going back and just reading again the different elements and what they meant and their significance. For me, it was so good just to go back again and just refresh yourself in the Word of God and what those elements mean. It was cool.
There's that song that says, mercy triumphs over judgment.
Mm.
And how he brought that God's grace was even there in the Old Testament, you know? Because even in today's day and age, they're like, oh no, Jesus' grace came in New Testament. It was right there.
God had amazing grace even in the Old Testament.
Yeah, I did.
I mean, even when the nation was so disobedient and God wanted to destroy them, he warned them ahead of time, years ahead of time, and gave them a chance to repent, and they didn't.
And we forget about that.
Yeah.
We forget that that's God's grace.
That's right.
He's warning his people, repent, turn from your ways. God's grace.
And I remember the element that you touched on also, on him being greater than.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's greater than the covenant, greater than the sacrifices that were made. So that was also a point for me that stood out.
Yeah, because once upon a time the sacrifice was done for atonement, and it was almost temporary, but then Jesus came and shed his blood and the sacrifice was done for restoration.
Yeah.
And the blood was a sign of sacrifice, now it was a sign of the life given for us. That's what I remember. Then, can you remember what he shared on Hebrews 10?
Three postures of worship.
There were definitely
that
postures.
That was that.
That was there.
Three postures.
Were there only three? I think there were many.
No, there were a bit more postures.
Okay,
there
were many more. Okay, there were many more. We used to do 3-point sermons. So I just assumed that it was 3 points.
You do what you kill me. Real versus the shadow, seated versus standing, and in there it was about the postures. And then it was the old versus the new, living and inward versus outward. So what we did in our home group is I went and I said to them, whoever can post, when we got to recapping on point two, the seated versus standing, whoever can post a photo of themselves doing one of the postures will get McDonald's delivered via Uber Eats. So immediately somebody was already lying on their bed and they just took a snapshot and saying, prostrate before God. So we paid up. We had to give the McDonald's. One of the others was kneeling. He got something. And then another girl went all out and recorded herself doing lifting of hands to music and everything. So it definitely spoke to our home group. I think it's nice that we had different takes on the things. I know I preached the majority of it, but there were some lovely different takes on it. Then we had Hebrews 11 delivered by our tag team of ladies, Marlies and Fran. Who can remember what that was about?
The heroes of the faith.
Yeah.
And the one thing that stood out for me was that the difference between assurance.
It was good.
It was so good.
Very good. And then also persistence.
Yeah.
You know, we need to persist in this race.
Yeah.
We shouldn't give up.
It was a nice platform for you.
Yeah.
Leading into chapter 12.
That was very good.
The persevering and the persistence of faith. Yeah. Mm. And then you brought fire, bro. It was such a good message. You know, God really spoke through you. It was amazing. And that was a life of discipline. Yeah. It's a unique race for all of us. And what I took away from it, I don't think you said it in so many words, but I think sometimes we take the discipline of the Lord as punishment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's not punishing us, he's refining us.
He's refining us.
Yeah.
And I think we tend to forget that.
Yeah.
You know, we sometimes feel like God has left us.
Yeah.
And he has left us all by ourselves.
Yeah.
But it's in those hard times that we actually discover more of God and where we actually grow spiritually the most.
Yeah.
If I look back at, you know, preachers that's big at the moment, they all started in a small church and they had hectic times, hard times.
Mm.
And in those hard times, that's when what God was refining them and grew them to the point where they now preach to thousands of people.
Yeah. He uses those uncomfortable, awkward, trying times to shape us.
Yeah.
And it's funny because when you think about that, you can see where he's chipping off things. Like, you know, refining a diamond, and then we're okay with that. But it's that he's also implanting certain things and removing things from us.
Yeah.
I remember in a tough time, Alisa and I had no money, nothing. We were just starting out as a new couple. And how he came and he started refining on us. And it was easy for me to give myself to him, chipping off edges. But the most difficult thing was when he says, I have to change your heart.
Sure.
And I was like, why? First of all, my arrogance. And then I was like, no, it's going to hurt. And it's that refining sometimes also that we need to give ourselves to. So I really think you did so well on Hebrews 12. Well, everybody did incredibly well. Maybe it's just the three of us that really enjoyed the series. But I'm excited about the next one that's going to come. There will be a grand reveal about the next series. I think it's going to build on what we have already built. Would you say after this that you are better equipped to approach God? That was our approach with this, and this was the aim of taking this one.
You know, Jan, for me, and I think it was preached in 3 or 4 of the messages, it struck me that it's not always about us approaching him, but that he's always been approaching us. God is for us. He's always after us. He's always there. And the concept of disciplining us, taking us through this journey, you know, it's been so good for me that God is refining me. And even as I've gone and I've prepared and I've read through this, he's refining me. And I mean, you mentioned it in chapter 2. I don't know if you recall. You talked about salvation. Salvation being something that is a daily thing. He's busy saving our identities, that he's saving. We talked about saving our sexuality, saving our finances, saving. So for me, in terms of your question, approaching, do I find myself better equipped to approach God? I think my answer would be, he's always there approaching me. It's about my heart towards that approach. Am I willing to subject to his training, to his disciplining? So that for me has been the challenge for me, because it's easy to say, yes, I'm willing to subject, but when it actually happens, it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And it's not nice and it's difficult.
Yeah.
So that has been kind of my prayer. Lord, help me to, while you're rooting out these things out of my life, that I stick on this race, that I don't give up halfway.
Mm. You do?
Yeah, I think that it has definitely given me more confidence to approach God, knowing that he is so gracious, knowing that he has already gone before me, has sacrificed himself for me, and that the only thing left is for me to come to him, even though he's calling me, but I still need to come to him, and he has removed every obstacle out of a way for me to approach him.
Yeah, he hasn't left a single stone unturned. I've often said to the kids, my children, do not underestimate the lengths and the levels that I will go to pursue your heart in relationship. Now, if I think if I've got that revelation as an earthly, imperfect dad, how much more? And this is what Hebrews was about. The levels that God has gone to make his presence accessible, to make him accessible to us, to become almost vulnerable, where we can meet with him. Like that one thing is, God sacrificed himself in the image of his son for us to have access to him again. It's mind blowing. What do you want to say?
No, I don't want to say anything.
I really hope that it's given people the confidence not just to approach his presence, but to be found in his presence, to relax in his presence, to talk to him. And I hope it's brought God to a point where they understand that he is accessible to us. I think that would have been one of my takeaways from this, that they've done that. So we're asking you, comment. Tell us if this series has done that for you. Have you found yourself able to approach him or be found in his presence, or allow him to pursue you and find you where you are, irrespective of your state of mind, your state of being? Have you, send us some comments. If you've got the WhatsApp line, pop it on a WhatsApp, or just comment on the link, the comment section of the YouTube page. Now in quickly, Hebrews 13. So the first couple of verses says, let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember those who are in prison, as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled. For God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. God will. Keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Beautiful scripture that we quote often. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? And then I want to link that with verse 15 and 16, where it says, through him, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. And do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. So I find chapter 13 a reminder of a fatherly figure that's written to a group of people that he loved. Let us not forget that Hebrews is a letter written to a group of people, an intimate letter written like a dad to a child that says, my boy, give yourself to this, be careful of this. Yeah. Don't forget that there's relational intimacy in this thing that he's writing to. And he decides to end it with some things that need to be done, something that needs to be honored, and some things that need to stay away from. So I was, let brotherly love continue. No, I know us as brothers, we love each other and people can learn from us, can't they? The way we banter and the way we extend grace to one another. How do you see the church showing or continuing in brotherly love, especially during this time of COVID? Go.
I think it's to look out. They show brotherly love when they look out for one another, especially during this time. There's people that's all by themselves that might feel lonely, and it's when we reach out and show concern that we show brotherly love. Mm-hmm. And also, if there's a brother that we see have a need and we meet that need, we show brotherly love.
Mm. Cool.
I'm thinking about the leaders meeting that we had recently. You talked about love. Like, do we really love one another?
Yeah.
I think it's easy to say, I love you, but what is almost the works that is attached to that love?
Yeah.
What am I going to do to show you that I love you?
Yeah.
That for me has been, and I remember when I did chapter 10, and that thing gripped my heart so much, that inward versus outward approach. So we approach God outwardly, but he talks about not neglecting to come together. And when we come together, and it's difficult for us to get together now because we're on lockdown.
Yeah, it's
but restrictive. There's small things that we can do. Especially, and God has challenged me with my neighbors. Mm. You know, what are the small things? And thank God for my wife, because she's very, very outward focused. But like, let's do small things for our neighbors. And that thing has changed my relationship with my neighbors. Mm. Because it was a small thing that we did, a small act that we did that opened up a door that we can now communicate with each other, share, and we can show the love of Christ to them through that small act of kindness that we show to our neighbors.
One of the things why I'm chuckling is it's good what Duan and I often speak about, show me your faith and I'll show you my works, and show me your works and I'll show you my faith. That scripture, where is it?
James 2.
That's right.
James 1.
And let's park it at the book of James. Yeah. But how we are showing one another acts and our faith in it. I've been challenged by that, because I think there's a possible other thing we can learn from that scripture to say is not show me the one that's better than the other, but in me showing you the one, I am showing you the other. In my works that I give you, I'm showing my faith of knowing that God will provide. When I don't have a lot but I still give, I'm showing in brotherly love. I'm doing that. The other thing I thought about that is, when we love one another, sometimes it's not just a physical act of being there for each other, but it's allowing you to be convicted when a brother speaks to you in love. Like in this time, when somebody phoned me and said, we're not praying enough. We should be quick to respond and not rise up in arrogance, because love covers that. And when somebody says we're not doing enough for people, don't get defensive about what we are doing, but saying, Lord, is this an area of conviction? Receive what your brother is pouring out on you in love. Now, I know we're all wise enough to know when it's coming in just absolute sheer condemnation and when it's coming in sincere love. And respond to that. That's also showing brotherly love. Be the one who tells your brother what you feel in God, and be the one who is a brother that receives in humility what is of God. The next one is, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. I don't even know where to start with this during COVID. How have you shown, Duan, hospitality to strangers?
Hospitality has to do with your home, so I think allowing people in my home via Zoom.
Excellent. Excellent.
That's a great answer, my bro.
It's exactly that. Because hospitality has to do with sacrificing your comfort for the sake of somebody else feeling welcome.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, sometimes I don't want to see another screen. It's been overwhelming at stages.
Mm.
And just to allow somebody, it's been some of the most refreshing times, just having a FaceTime call or having a Zoom meeting or something. I think that is definitely one thing we can do.
Yeah.
Being hospitable with who we are, with what we have, being creative in that.
Yeah. I'm thinking of a time where in one of the evenings we were connecting with a couple, and that Zoom meeting, it wasn't, you know, sometimes we think, we need to be, let's pull out the Bible, let's look at scriptures, and let's encourage each other. There's a time for that, but sometimes it's just having a good conversation.
Yeah.
Just after that conversation, I was like, wow. It was so refreshing to me. Just ask the kids, the challenges, the day-to-day. It was just like we were there.
A shared life. Yeah.
It was really good. Yeah. I enjoyed that.
Cool. I loved how you prayed on Tuesday for the people in prison. I love that we get the opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
And I think this context was definitely written for Christians in prison. But I think God was always there for the marginalized and the those ones, and praying for them is a good thing. So I thought that was a nice one that we did. I love the verse 4 where it says, let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. And I almost felt that this was a prophetic thing. That now I know back in that day they also had struggles with marriage and divorce and all of the questions, the same things we have. But I felt almost like God was using the Hebrew writer for the time now where we are, to write to us and say, I'm gonna say for posterity my thoughts about marriage. Because this Hebrew writer is choosing to make his final words known. And in that, he is saying marriage is important. Now, we know marriage is important, but what do you think he's alluding to when he talks about marriage here? What are your thoughts? You see, one is still enjoying the freshness of marriage. How long are you married now?
Loving it. Just over 2 years.
2 years.
2 years, 1 month.
An inspiration, Aubrey. Love it.
Yeah. You alluded so well into it, Yad. During the time of lockdown specifically, husbands and wives have seen so much of each other. And sometimes it can get interesting.
Yeah.
It can get very interesting in the home. Huh. And for me, marriage is, and I suppose for many people, is so important, because if the marriage is healthy, then the home is healthy.
Yeah.
And I've seen that during the past 8 weeks or so.
Yeah.
Liesl and I in a good space.
The house is in a good space. Yeah.
Everything is running well. And there's just such an importance of marriage in how we live and how we an example to other people.
Yeah.
In marriage, I tell you, we've had some interesting days in the Platt household in terms of our relationship and in our marriage, but it's also been so beautiful that we have opened up almost a different dialogue.
Yeah.
We're communicating differently.
Mm.
Trying to spend time in prayer together. But the marriage for me is a fundamental. If your marriage is not in a good space, and I think that's what he was alluding to, if it's not in a good space, then it's obviously you'll have good days and you'll have bad days, and you'll have, obviously, because nothing's ever perfect. But if it's not healthy, there's a problem.
Because we are happy to read into the context that God should refine us and chip off our sharp edges and rebirth something in us. But I also think that under pressure, when our marriage comes under pressurized time, God does the same. He refines the marriage, yeah. And he inbirths something new and more intimate in the marriage. And if we give ourselves to that, yeah. The marriage will become that thing that is almost the building blocks of society.
Yeah.
Definitely important. So what I want to say is if you're married, give yourself to your marriage during this time. I don't think it's by chance that he talks about the harshness of the conditions of prison, the difficulty of people feeling mistreated, and then he goes into marriage because he knows that sometimes difficult circumstances can easily make a marriage feel like prison. But it shouldn't. Give yourself to marriage. If you are married and you've chosen that partner, give yourself to that partner in vulnerability. Be intimate to the point of like he says, the marriage bed. Do not defile it. Give yourself to it. Let marriage blossom in this time. It's been challenging at times. I'm with you. The kids add a dimension to it that you cannot deny. Come
absolutely.
On. This man is smiling like the Cheshire Cat.
Yeah, when I hear stories, then I'm just thankful that I don't have kids over this time.
At this time. I've enjoyed it. Melissa and I have found each other in different ways. We have. But it has been challenging at stages. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Something we can lean into as a church. This time, no matter what happens to the economy, no matter what happens to church meetings, no matter what happens to level 3, 2, 1, I don't know. He will never leave us, never forsake us.
Yeah.
Incredible promise from God.
It's so interesting as I was reading through it, that I even made a note for myself. The context of never leaving you or forsaking you is to do with money and contentment. So he talks about money and contentment, and then he says, I will never leave you. Not forsake you.
Yeah, lovely.
Yeah, because sometimes we think it is. He will never leave us nor forsake us. But we especially during these times.
Yes, what is under pressure, my brother?
Your finances. Yeah. That's the first thing that gets attacked.
And we are uncomfortable. Yes. We are not content with our situation at
exactly.
the moment. Every conversation you have with somebody starts with, yeah, well, lockdown.
Yeah.
When is this going to end? They should just open us up. Nobody is content.
Yeah.
For heaven's sake, at least we have homes to be locked in. Like, let's just start being grateful there.
Yeah. Very
so, true. Very good observation.
Yeah.
Money and contentment.
Yeah.
There goes our senior pastor. Well done. The last thing I wanted us to wrap up with, I wanted to hear your perspective on verse 15 that says, through him, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Through him, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name.
Yeah, I think especially when we go through a tough time, it's we might find ourselves in a place where we're angry at God. You know, God, how can you do this? You know, especially over this time, there might be people that have lost their jobs, and you know, you might be thinking, God, why have you done this to me? You know, and it's difficult to acknowledge God. It's difficult to acknowledge that God is actually taking you through a journey, or, you know, it might be a part of your race where God is refining you. And it's difficult to then acknowledge God and give God praise for that, because James also says, you know, count the joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. And it's a sacrifice to thank God during a tough time, and when everything in you feel like it's God's fault that you are struggling at the moment.
So what you're saying is say, yes, thank you God for this situation. Thank you for creating this circumstance. Is that what you're saying?
They say 75% is body language. The rest is what you say.
What you say and how you say
and
it.
And how you say
the
it.
The delivery.
Yeah. I'm just reminded of our mouth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how we communicate is through what we say.
Yeah.
And what we say, and as verse 15 says, praise needs to be on our lips. We need to be praising God during this time. We need to be talking about how wonderful He is.
Mm-hmm.
Talking when things are tough, speak in faith. speak mm-hmm. in faith and say, hey, no, things, God, you're, like we just said, He's for us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us.
Yeah.
So, and I've also found just to be such a remarkable thing about putting worship music. It's just been for me, it's mm-hmm. been incredible when I'm feeling a little bit, just crank that and just get into a time where you're praising, you're actually praising God mm-hmm. and you're actually lifting your voice and you're saying, God, how great you are.
It's amazing. I thought we will get a lot of criticism about the quality of our music recording. Because, I mean, we can't have a full-on recording thing here. We have to just take one line out. The musos we work with are those people that are allowed to be here. And we just record one line out. Like, Duan is doing an amazing job with that. But at the end of the day, it's not a proper recording. And when you listen to it on a Sunday, sometimes it's a little bit rubbish. But people haven't criticized that. They've been so grateful that there was something that they could participate in. A familiar voice. Yeah. Our voice of praising God and that. And I definitely think that's part of it. I felt that this scripture speaks about us praising God in all circumstances and thanking God in all circumstances. Coming before Him in humility and saying, God, we thank You that we are so grateful that You are greater than us, and humble ourselves. If My people humble themselves and pray, I will heal their land. And saying, God, if even this situation that seems so substandard to us, we like, thank You, God, we can praise You in this situation. But also, we thank You that we are in this situation, not alone, because You will never leave us and You will never forsake us. And as we do that, we start to invite the glory of God into the situation. We say, come, Lord, fill this terrible situation. I know one of my favorite verses in Proverbs, is quoted also in Esther, where she says it is the glory of God to conceal a matter and the honor of kings to seek it out. And I think in this time I've found sometimes I have to seek God out for what I can praise Him for in the situation. And as we do that, our minds are focusing much more on Him than it is on us. And He comes and He becomes the biggest thing in the situation. So, I've been preaching now. Duan, do you have anything on this one other than what you've said?
No.
Cool. Yeah, the fruit of lips that acknowledge His name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifice that is pleasing to God. And it's been wonderful to see how people have contributed portions of what they've been given, bits that they've got left over, portions of the little that they had, and even some people giving of the much that they have. And therefore, we've had a COVID relief fund that has fed a lot of people. And I've loved seeing some of the people that came here to receive their parcel saying, okay, I'm going to give this to this neighbor and I'm going to give that to that neighbor. And you're thinking, what on earth? It seems so little. But people have shared what they've had. And may we be a people that lean into the generosity in God. Lean into His principles that says, just like that widow brought her last mite, her last little bit, and that heart attitude, God, I do it in faith. I know that You can multiply what is left over, but also do it because I know You've given so much to me. So yeah, may we be that. In closing, Hebrews 4:16. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace in a time of need. May that be the reality of approaching God in this series that we've gone through. If you remember nothing else, remember Hebrews 4:16. I'll ask Duan to even put it on screen afterwards. But as an eldership team, and Molly's and I are the leaders at this stage that has the privilege of leading the team, I felt to read this over us as elders, over us as a leadership team, over us as a church, where he ends off with verse 20 that says, now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do His will, working in us, which is pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. This is sincerely our prayer over us as elders. May we know that over us as a leadership, over us as a people. May we know God. May we be constantly reminded of Jesus Christ, the great shepherd who shed his blood, not counting being God anything, but laying it down willingly for us. That we will work towards the thing that is pleasing him in and through us, his purpose, his will, forever and ever. Amen. Hope this has been helpful. Thank you, James, for wrapping up Hebrews with me. We look forward to launching the new series. It's gonna be a goodie, I tell you this. But it's been wonderful doing this lockdown with you guys. Appreciate it so much. If you've got any prayer requests or anything, WhatsApp it through to us. If you've got any needs, let us know. And if you've got any comments, send it through. We love you, LRC. We miss you. Soon we'll be together again in person. Cheers. Thank you for joining us this morning. Hope you enjoyed the service. Hope you enjoyed everything. Now, kiddos, 10:45, your Jason is coming up. So stay tuned and have fun.
Welcome to the Love Reaching Community's Sermon of the Week. For more information pertaining to the life of the church, please visit our website at lrcchurch.co.za.